Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And the last several broadcasts, we've been sharing on a subject I've entitled Biblical Prosperity. And we were looking, as I brought the last broadcast to a close, on some of the traditions or teachings of man that have crept into biblical Christianity, and especially as it relates to the concept of finances and prosperity. And there has been a misconception that have been held by many that if you want to be really spiritual, you have to be poor. Well, that does contradict what the Bible has to say. And that basically stems from a Greek thought and an ungodly philosophy called Dioceticism. And it was there was a rationalism that crept into the church after the Reformation in Europe based on an elevation of the logic of the human mind. It elevates the, based on Aristotle really, the five senses as a way of determining what is truth. And it elevates what can be discerned, quote, in a scientific way, above the supernatural. And this rationalism crept into all major Western theological seminaries and basically all across America and pervades a lot of denominational thinking. And this docetic teaching is that it's a pagan concept that matter is evil and that the mind or spirit is good. And that very word dichotomy, that by definition it means to divide into two mutually exclusive or contradictory groups. And so this kind of thinking, which is very, it's sort of subtle, but it's pervasive, it separates the sacred from the secular. Well, there's religion, and then there's life, as how you live your life, and never the two shall meet. That's kind of this secular mentality, and it says that the body and money and houses, cars, and all these natural things, careers, are secular. They have no relevance to the kingdom of God. And we have to understand how Jesus feels about this. In the book of Revelation, he's speaking to the seven churches in the second chapter, verse 15. He censures teaching the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So hast thou also them which hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Beloved, these were those who separated the sacred from the secular. For many centuries, it evolved in terms of the known Christian church that there were those, you know, the priests, those who were the religious leaders, who were quite separate from the lay people. In fact, they even kept the Bible in Latin so that the common person could not read and understand the Word of God for themselves. There were the priests, those that led, and there were all the rest, the little sheep, who just did whatever the leaders told them. And God said He hates this. And beloved, we need to wake up as Christians. Our work, beloved, is our ministry. Ephesians 4 and 1 says that we are commanded to walk worthy in the vocation in which we're called. That Greek is kleisis, K-L-E-S-I-S. It means calling, to walk worthy in the vocation in which we are called. Each job, every career is a calling, just as much as a pastor is a shepherd of God's flock. Just very recently, I have a friend who we're just becoming friends, and she hadn't been to church in 3 years, so I took her to a local church, a good local church where I've been going, and as the situation would have it, there happened to be a visiting evangelist, and he ministered in the service. But afterwards, he spent time and he ministered in the gifts, and he basically said, you need to get in a church, you need to start serving. And she was a substitute teacher, has been for like 17 years. Her preference is working in the high schools with gang members. I'm telling you, if that isn't a calling, I don't know what. And he basically said, that's not a ministry. And she was so upset. And of course, I assured her, and of course, I said, you go to the pastor. She also assured her that that is not true. Every work, every God-given enterprise that's upright and not, of course, corrupt in any way, there's much value in any kind of work, no matter how humble. And as Christians, we need to value that which God has placed in our hands. We need to protect our testimony. We need to function as the light and salt of the earth. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Jesus also said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And this dichotomy that's been set up in terms of the secular and religious as two different worlds that never shall meet, that's a lie of the devil. Our religious life is not confined to Sunday mornings. It should pervade every hour of our week. And just to give an example, beloved, and this is the Western mentality, again, influenced by the Greek philosophers. But the Hebraic mindset views life very differently. They view life holistically. You are never going to convince an Orthodox Jew to be persuaded out of their belief in covenant as well as prosperity. It's something they just know because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob experienced it, and they understand the principles of covenant. And so, beloved, we've just been caught up. Many unwary Christians have been caught up in a vicious negative cycle, this pagan philosophy that has crept into congregations, and it has taught, they've been taught false teaching. There's a split between the sacred and the secular, that money is the root of all evil. Well, beloved, the Lord tells us through James, that first chapter, verse 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we would be prospered as his people, which he desires, if then we are be able to see the ministries prosper that can then reach out in intangible ways in terms of missions, sending missionaries on foreign soil. Beloved, a missionary in many cases has to raise their own support, and in many cases have had to leave the missions field simply because there's not enough support coming from the churches. And if we are reluctant in our giving, the church ministry as a whole suffers. And so we have to understand it, as Colossians exhorts us in the second chapter, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. God's will is that he is the source of all blessing. The source, it is God who gives you power to get wealth. And through tithes and offerings, it is his plan for his work to continue. Under the old covenant, it was very clear. The people brought their tithes and offerings to the temple, to the priesthood. Yet even the priests tithed to the Lord. It's a principle to keep us clear and free from covetousness, and also that the temple could be maintained. And in today's world, that the gospel can continue to go forth. You know, if you go to a local church, that there's rent money that has to be paid, or a mortgage that has to be met. There are utilities, garbage, all these things, not to mention the various things that are just necessary to see a church carry on. And so, beloved, we have to understand this is God's way of enabling his work to continue. And so, as leaders, it is our responsibility to teach God's people the truth, that their minds can be renewed, that the sheep of God can be taught to be a blessing to establish God's covenant, so that the kingdom of God does not suffer lack. And I should say this, there are, if you really take the whole counsel of God, there's no such thing as a freeloader, unless someone is genuinely a widow. If someone is physically or mentally disabled, that's another thing. But, and there's no male or female in this, but if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And that's also true from women. I recently heard a testimony. And this was a woman, she had been on welfare for many years, and someone asked her why she didn't get a job. She said, why should I get a job? I get my check every month. And then until that day, someone came to her, she said, looked her in the eye and said, your lifestyle is unacceptable to God. And as a result, she went out and she got an education. She put herself through school. She went ahead and is now has a wonderful career. She's an author and is self-sustaining. And she has proved the very principle that if we will obey God, God will cause us to be a blessing. So there's no freeloaders in God's kingdom. We need to the extent we are able to be able to do what we can to support ourselves. But where there is genuine need, that's difference. That's when the generosity of God's people should be there to meet that need. The Bible is clear that we must not follow the customs of this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beloved, you and I operate on a different economic system from this world. Money, material wealth is not an end in itself. For the world it is, it's an attempt to buy happiness and personal fulfillment. One wise person said, I've given up following the Joneses because I realized they weren't going anywhere. Beloved, God wants to change your situation. If you are in debt, indebtedness because of presumptuous spending, you need to repent and ask God to give you wisdom to handle your money. It's really a spiritual problem. It's just not a financial one. We borrow money and goods, but we need to be very careful as we do. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. We need to manage debt, and that requires discipline and making it a priority, because Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is servant to the lender. The devil, beloved, labels prosperity a message. He labels that in order to attack it. But prosperity, beloved, is not a message. It's a divine principle. It's a biblical doctrine. Well, I've shared a great deal, and I pray that you've been blessed. And it's just always good to review the principles and truths of God's Word. And it's my prayer for you, beloved, that you can prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Thank you so much for joining me. I love you. And if you have prayer requests, if you are in financial straits, pray and we'll agree together. We'll see God move. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.